You might be in here today and you're just thinking, you don't know what I've done. He does. And his river runs straight through you and to you. He's not afraid of what you did. You might be embarrassed about it. You might be terrified about it. You may get into these places where you just think, I can't, there's no way out. Oh, there's a way out. Because we serve a God and his name is the way maker. And he makes a way where there is no way. I know a God that delivered the Israelites, millions of Israelites from Pharaoh, from the grip of Pharaoh, and they came up to a Red Sea with the army behind them and mountains on either side and a huge ocean in front of them. And do you think they thought there was no way out? Absolutely. Absolutely. But God told Moses, he said, you're going through. And this ocean that was hundreds of feet deep began to be blown back by the Spirit of God. And it blew back so far that it created a dry surface. And the Israelites literally walked through the Red Sea. And you know what's awesome about it? Is when they got to the other side, their enemies chased them. And the very same water that delivered them killed their enemies. So you may be looking at a thing dead in the face. You may be thinking, this thing's going to kill me. No, it's not. It's going to deliver you. That's how God does it. God brings you into an impossible situation to show you that he's the God of all possibilities. Every time. Every time. He wants to teach us that I am the way maker. You are not going to make your own way. In fact, I have ordered your steps. In fact, I sat at a menu and I said, you're doing this, and you're doing this, and you're doing this, and you're doing that, and you're doing that. Oh, no, we're not. Oh, yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. Oh, boy. There is a river. So, in the days ahead, we need the revelation that there is a river that does not run dry. Are you dry in here today? You need to take a drink. You need the river. Okay. Everything else in this world runs dry, but the river got... But the river of God keeps on flowing. Our God is an everlasting fountain. He provides water in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Isn't it interesting that he is also an all-consuming fire? So God is living water, and he's also all-consuming fire. I don't know, how's that work? Huh? So in Genesis 2, which is interesting because this is the first reference to an actual river, this is what it says, and I can't talk. In verse 8, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. I want you to understand when we're talking about east. If you notice, the temples were always facing east. East. The Jewish tradition was that God was in the west. And I'm not talking geographical. I'm just talking about that was just their tradition. And the east went down to humanity. So that's why the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. And if you think about the tabernacles, what would happen is the sun would come up and it would reflect on the outer court, and then it would be over the holy place, and then it would die down past the most holy place. East and west. And he takes our sins and he says, I'm gonna separate them as far as the east is from the west. You know what that means? That means you can never sin enough. I'm spitting all over myself. God's sacrifice was either big enough or it wasn't. It's one or the other. As far, I'm going to take your sins. I'm going to put them as far as the east is from the west. And this is what it says. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It says, now a river went out of Eden and it went to water the garden. Isn't it interesting? In the 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field or garden. You are a cultivated field. You are God's building. So this is the first prophetic reference of a river actually coming into a person. And the name of the first river was Pishon. It is the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there's gold. And the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and the onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Hiddekel. It is the one which goes towards the east of Assyria. The fourth river is the Euphrates. These are the meanings of the four rivers. Pishon means increase. Sounds like the Holy Ghost. Gihon means burst forth, sounds like the Holy Ghost. Tigris is rapid, sounds like acceleration to me. And Euphrates is fruitfulness. So we're already seeing a prophetic example of what God does with his river. John 7:38 says, he that believes in me, as the scripture says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Well, how's that work? The way it works is you receive Christ, and when you get Christ, you get everything. He says, you are a joint heir with me. You are a co-heir with me, and everything that I have, you have. So if I had the Holy Ghost, when you get me, you get the Holy Ghost. You get the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that hovered over the deep, that hovered over the darkness, and spoke and said, let there be light, and light was. And it said, let there be grass, and trees, and dirt, and eventually people. And now he's on the inside of you. You want to talk about creative power? You want to talk about moving into spaces and changing the atmosphere? You want to talk about a river? And it's not flowing out of temples anymore. Guess what, guys? You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He has decided to move on the inside of your structure, and he wants to move out of the threshold of your door. Well, I'm bored. Life's monotonous. Are you kidding me? There's a river that makes glad the people of God. We need to drink more. You know how hard this is? Jesus, give me a drink. You don't have to work something up. He said, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Well, I got to fight. I got to do this and I got to do that. I got to do 4 backflips and I got to run a 100-meter dash. I got to do all this stuff. No, you don't. No, you don't. He did everything for you. And all he is saying is just accept my sacrifice. Let the Holy Ghost come on the inside of you and start to experience life and life more abundantly. Because the truth is, you can be alive, but you're actually dead. Come alive! You are living stones! You're not dead! Oh boy. Well, Ezekiel 47. We find ourselves landing here. It says in verse 1, then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple towards where? East. 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 What do you mean? Flowing to humanity. Flowing to sin. Flowing to those things that the river needs to take care of. And there's a river. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing under the right side of the temple, south of something called an altar. And can I tell you something? That the cross was the altar. And when Jesus was up on that cross, and they took that spear and they shoved it into his side, and it says that blood and water came out the side of him, that's where the river started. And it'll never, ever stop flowing. His blood will never stop flowing. That river will never stop flowing. And you know what this says? It started as a trickle. And you know what happened to Jesus? An angel overshadowed Mary.
and put that heavenly seed on the inside of her. She was a virgin. Jesus is birthed in a manger. You want to talk about small beginnings, tricklings? The next thing you know is you see him at 12 years old, and he's in the temple, and all these guys, all these teachers, and all these religious people are like, how does this 12-year-old know all of this stuff? Small beginnings. Small beginnings. And then John baptizes Jesus. He goes into the wilderness, filled with the Spirit of God, and comes out in power, and he turns water into wine. And the next thing you know, he starts raising dead people to life. And the next thing you know, people start getting healed of all these diseases. Jesus was a rock star. I don't know what you think of Jesus, but the Beatles had nothing on Jesus. Do you understand that? It says his fame spread so fast that there was thousands and thousands of people to some point where they were literally going to crush him, and he had to get out on a pond in a boat and preach from there because there was too many people that wanted to touch him. If we're not preaching to Jesus that big, something's wrong. This dude had fame, and everybody wanted a piece of him. You want to know why? Because they all knew they had a missing piece in the puzzle, and it was him. They're like, I'm missing something. I'm missing something. I'm missing something. There's something missing in me. And they would search after him and run after him just so they could touch him, so they could feel whole again. Because there's only one thing that'll make you feel whole. His name is Jesus. It's the only thing. He's the only thing that'll fix fragmentation. Oh. Oh. Are you kidding me? It started as a trickle. Oh my goodness. And then he brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around the outside of the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out the right side. And when the man went into the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. It's about 1,750 feet. And it says, he brought me through the waters. Picture this now. Ezekiel's being taken in this spiritual vision. This is not literal. It's a spiritual vision. It says the angel came up to him. Some people think it was actually Jesus. Whatever. But this heavenly being is leading him through this. So here's Ezekiel, probably not knowing, am I in the body? Am I out of the body? Am I on earth? Am I not in earth? Am I in heaven? Where am I? And he's literally leading Ezekiel. And Ezekiel's taking these steps in this vision. And when the man went out the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, brought me through waters. The waters came up to my ankles. He's probably thinking, oh, cool, that's different. Water up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. He's like, okay, going a little bit deeper here. Wasn't my ankles, now it's at my knees. What's going on here? What am I being led to? You wonder if like he's looking down, he's like, is he seeing the water rise? Or is this something that he's, just as he takes a step, Jesus is showing him, or the angel of the Lord, or whoever it was, is like, this is what it is. Take another step, take another step, take another step, take another step, take another step. It was up to his waist. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river he could not cross, for the water was too deep, the water in which one must swim in, a river that could not be crossed. And that's exactly where God is taking and wants to take the body of Christ, to the point where you are absolutely possessed by the Holy Ghost. And I say this all the time, if someone can be possessed by a demon, they surely can be possessed by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost can put you on like a glove and say, hey, you're a glove for God. Oh boy. Some of y'all look mad. Some of y'all look really happy. Some of y'all, I don't know what's going on. Don't be mad. Couldn't be crossed. He said to me, son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there, along the bank of the river, there were a bunch of trees on one side and the other. Hello, trees of righteousness. There were a bunch of trees on either side of this river tending to the river. They were literally up against the river, and their roots were literally soaking in the river.
Then he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters this thing called the Dead Sea. Do you know that the Dead Sea is the lowest point on earth? It's literally the lowest point on earth. So he's teaching us an example. He's saying, there is nowhere where I won't go. There is no place on earth that is too low. There is no ghetto that's too bad. There's no place that's too, there's no insane asylum that's too scary for me, because I'll go up in there. He's not scared. The Dead Sea is 34% salt. You can literally put a bowling ball in it and the bowling ball will float. That's how much salt is in this thing. It's dead. There's nothing that can live in that salt. And he's showing us something. He says, when it reaches the sea or the Dead Sea, the waters of the Dead Sea are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the river goes will live. Everything. Everywhere the water goes, everything is going to live that it touches. Everything. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from Engedi to Eglaim. They will be placed, there will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. I see a bunch of fish. I see an exceeding amount of fish coming into the body of Christ. They may be flipping and flopping out of the water, but they're going to get sucked in by this tsunami. They're going to get sucked in by this tide, and they're going to end up getting in the water. They're going to end up getting in the river. Exceedingly many. But its swamps and its marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither. Do you know what that means? Do you know the only reason why a leaf withers is because it's holding on to the water because it's worried that it's not going to get any more. Well, guess what? These leaves are super green, and all this fruit is just hanging off these trees because they know their God. They know the river that's running into them does not stop flowing. So they have no reason to wither up. No reason. Their leaves will not wither. Their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. The sanctuary, their fruit will be for food and their leaves will be for medicine. God wants you to use you, the Jesus in you, as an antidote. He wants to use the Jesus in you to heal somebody. He said, I'm coming up on the inside of you as me. I'm coming up on the inside of you as me. And my hands become your hands, and my mouth becomes your mouth, and my eyes become your eyes, and my ears become your ears. The body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ. It's not some avatar, is that what they're called? Avatar? It's the real deal. It's the real Jesus. It's not some kind of imitation Jesus. It's not kind of secondhand Jesus. It's him. I know that's hard to believe, that he's actually, through his spirit, moved up on the inside of you, but he did. Just the same way he came into those sanctuaries and those tabernacles that they built. He came up on the inside of them. It's the same thing with your body. I'm going to come up on the inside of you. All creation is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed, because the Son of God has already revealed himself, and there's going to be a place where now the sons of the living God, and all creation is groaning and saying, what are you waiting for? Oh boy. It said that the water was flowing under the right side of the temple, past the altar. The altar, the altar, the altar, the altar, the altar. The altar is the reason for the water. That's the only reason there's water to be had. And we know the soldier pierced the side, and it literally says blood and water burst forth. It literally used the word burst forth. And that was the beginning of the stream. We talked about this, but according to Jewish tradition, in the context of the temple in Jerusalem, west is considered to be the direction towards God as the holiest of holies, where God's presence was believed to be, facing westward within the temple complex. Therefore, in the specific context, west would be considered towards God. East is being considered moving away. And it's, you have to understand that, because that river, remember, eventually goes down into the Dead Sea, the lowest place in the earth. And what he's saying is that whole east from west thing, I got it all covered. My water has covered the whole thing. And then it's another thing that's interesting is he says this thing, and he says, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord is going to fill the earth.
So just as that river came out of that temple gate from the west all the way to the east to the lowest parts of the earth, what he's saying now is he's like that same glory, that same river, that same Holy Spirit is the knowledge. It's not that the Holy Spirit is not covering there. The Holy Spirit is covering the earth. It says the knowledge that he is. That's why it's so important to be learning and studying and understanding these things, because another layer is peeled back. And you say, oh my goodness, I'm looking in the mirror and I don't see myself anymore. That's because you're not who you think you are. Because God gave you another name. I know, you know, we got Eli over there. We got Tyler. We got Tim. We got all these people with these names. Your parents named you that. God has another name for you. He's got a whole other name for you. My goodness. You're a spirit having a human experience. You're not a human having a spiritual experience. Some kind of spiritual experience. It's not how it works. That's why he says you're going to be on this earth and you're going to feel like aliens. You're going to be like, something just ain't right. Something just don't fit, because you're not truly home yet. And when you get home, you're going to be like, oh, I get it now. I was a fish flopping all over the banks, but I was meant to swim. So we just get all these tastes. He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste of this age to come. Taste it and drink it and take it into you. And the more you take it into you, you realize when you see Jesus, you're going to be just like him. I can't do it anymore. See, that's too big and too rich. And religion's going to teach you something different. It's going to be a whole nother teaching. But he said, my sacrifice and my death on the cross took care of all of that. So if you have trouble believing those things, believe in the fact that the death on the cross that he suffered was big enough for you to experience these things. Not little old me. Oh, yeah. Yep, little old you and me. See, if everybody got a grip on this in the world, they'd be running into the church. If they really understood and really had the knowledge of what Jesus did on the cross and what he's offering them. And I got news for you. That veil in the temple was rent in two. It was a thick old veil. It was like 2 feet thick. It's huge. It was ripped in two. And it's still ripped. People have alienated themselves in their own minds. He opened the prison gates. The prison gates are wide open. The prison gates aren't locked. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Yeah, wake up every morning and look in the mirror and go, the gates of hell aren't going to prevail against me. That can happen. I don't care how thick the gates are. Can't dam the river. They tried to dam the river. Herod had all those males, all those little boys, 2 years and younger, had a murder trying to get a hold of Jesus. I remember the wise men, where did they see the star? They saw the star in the east, and it moved west to where Jesus was. But this word of God has been, they've tried to stamp it out. They tried to kill it. They tried to kill the church. They tried to kill people in the church. But the interesting thing is, when that happens, the church actually multiplies. So what the enemy means for evil, God always means for good. In the end, Job, who lost everything in a matter of hours, actually got more in the end than he had in the beginning, because that's who God is. Water always finds the lowest point. There's no place too low for the water to flood. And Romans 8:38-39 says something interesting. It says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, no depth, nor any other created thing. You suppose he's trying to make a point? Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Nothing. The sacrifice was too big. No thing. In Psalm 46:1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. He's very present. In fact, he's so very present that he's here. Hi, Jesus.
Hello, angels of God. Hello, heavenly hosts. How are we doing today? That's the reality of it all.
Where do you think he is? It literally says heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. You know what a footstool is? A footstool is something that's kept in some closet somewhere in the basement. We should be so pumped for heaven. We should be so pumped for heaven to come here. If we realize that this place is a mud puddle considered to the glory of heaven. Okay. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth, oh, this is interesting, even though the earth be removed, this isn't a stub toe. You know what I'm saying? This isn't a head cold. Even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, there's a lot going on there. Though its waters roar and are troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah, think on these things. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of Moses. Tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. And I swear when I was putting this message together, I was hearing the Holy Spirit say, in the days to come, we're going to need to know what the river is and how to drink from the river. Because when the mountains start shaking and the earth starts quaking and starts to happen and dominoes begin to fall and stuff that we've depended on our whole lives starts to kind of go away, we need to know our source. We need to know the source of our strength. We need to know who this stream is, how to drink from the stream. God's in the midst of her. And I love this. God shall help her when? Just at the break of dawn. In other words, just in the nick of time. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of the hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah, think on these things. Come, behold, the works of the Lord who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. All I know is God was doing a bunch of stuff there. He said, you need to be still. It's really hard to be sprinting and drink water. You know how you drink water? You have a seat. What seat? The mercy seat. My goodness. Seated with him in heavenly places, not standing. Seated. It's a place of rest. If that wasn't enough. Isaiah 43 says, thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters. He's talking about the Red Sea there. Who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinguished. They are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Why? Because that's where you die. Once you start going backwards and start thinking about the past and dwelling on the past, you're dead. But don't think about those former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm going to do a brand new thing. You got to wake up every morning and look in the mirror and go, God, what are you doing new today? He says, I'm going to do a brand new thing. He said it's going to spring forth next year. No, now it's going to spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me. And I want you to understand that when you're talking about the temple that Ezekiel saw, when it's moving to the east, it's literally moving through a desert place. Rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field are going to honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. Then Jesus meets that woman at the well, and Jesus goes up to her, and he's like, give me a drink. Give me a drink. His disciples had gone away. This is John 4. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water, living water, living water. And the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with.
Where then do you get this water from, this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will never thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give to him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. What's that mean? It means it starts as a trickle, then it goes up to your ankles, then it goes up to your knees, and then it goes to this place where there's a river that you can't swim in anymore. This is what this is talking about. It will become in you a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. We're going to end here. John 7, 37 says this, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And we've talked about this before, but what Jesus isn't saying, he's not saying, hey guys, if anybody's thirst, come on to me and drink. It says he's literally crying out. He's screaming at the top of his lungs to get as many people as they can possibly hear, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit of God, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Isn't that interesting? The Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus has not yet been glorified. You want to know how you get the Holy Spirit excited to be on the inside of you? You say, I glorify you, Jesus. Because as soon as you start to glorify Jesus, the Holy Spirit's like, I'm all in. I'm all in. When Jesus starts to get raised up and glorified and praised and worshiped, the Holy Spirit's like, I'm all in. I'm all in with this. That last day, that great day of the feast Jesus was referring to was actually the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. You had Passover, Unleavened Bread, First Fruits, Feast of Weeks, Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. He completed every one of them right to down to the last second. All of them. Y'all can stand. And I want people today, this is what we're going to do because I saw this happen. Prayer people, I want you to come down. Can you come down? Everybody, and not just the people maybe that normally come up here, but if you're in leadership right now, will you come down? And I want you to form two lines. I want a line, there goes the water. I want a line right here at the base of the altar and one right here. And what I saw was I saw God saying, create a river. Create a river. So everybody come down, make two lines. And listen, Martin, I want you to come down if you can. Anybody that has any type of sickness, anybody that's in a struggle right now, anybody that's, that, and no one's down here is going to be judging. Can you guys separate just a little bit more, make the line a little bit longer? And what we're going to do is we're going to start here. And I want you to walk down through this area. And what's going to happen is these people are going to speak blessings on you. You may have a word over your life that they want to speak. Be respectful. If someone doesn't want touched, don't touch them. But listen to me, guys. This is one of those God moments. This is one of those aha moments. This is one of those revelatory moments where God says, do something, and you have to take advantage of it. So we're going to start here. Down through. Lord, we just thank you right now for your river. We thank you for these trees of righteousness. We thank you for the Spirit of God, and we pray, Lord, flood this place, flood this area, flood this space right now in the name of Jesus. Let these be holy hands. We pray for healings to break forth. We pray for miracles to break forth. We pray for signs and wonders to break forth. I hear him saying, the time is now. The time is now. Your wait is over. Your miracle's here. Your miracle's in the river. Go from ankle, go to knee, go to waist, and go over your heads in him. Lord, thank you for your presence right now. Thank you for the presence of the Spirit of God right now in this house. And everybody else, let's just worship. It's okay to observe and watch. That's totally fine. If God's speaking to you, come down. We just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.